Today we continue with our meditations on the biblical covenants, the covenants of God with man. And last Sunday we started with the covenant of God with Adam, which is called the covenant of works, commonly called the covenant of works. Today we will continue with this covenant with Adam, and we will read from Genesis chapter 1. And then we go to a few verses from Matthew 28. The word of the Lord from Genesis 1, beginning with verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And then from Matthew chapter 28, and this is well known as the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Thus far the reading of God's most holy and inerrant word. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear congregation of Christ, in a brief speech before the House just a few days ago, a representative from Southern California named Ted Lieu said, and I quote, "I just thought I would now recite for you what Jesus Christ said about homosexuality." And then he kept silent for about 20 seconds before ending his speech with, "I yield back." What he wanted to show with this 20-second silence was that our Lord never mentioned anything about homosexuality in his teachings. Lieu also criticized several pitchers on the Tampa Bay Rays team for not wearing a Pride Month patch on their jerseys. In his Twitter account, he wrote, "Pitcher Jason Adam should read the New Testament. This is what Jesus said about homosexuality." And he follows this with a blank space inside quotation marks. Then he continued, "Jesus is about love, not about hating people who are different from you." So the blank space, he was showing that Jesus never said about anything about homosexuality. Representative Lieu, who calls himself a practicing Catholic, pretends to know the Bible, but obviously his mind is clouded. His eyes are blinded by the wicked culture promoting demonic ideas. It is true that Jesus never mentioned the word homosexual, but our Lord was crystal clear about this subject. When Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees about divorce, he answered, and he quoted Genesis 1, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This liberal congressman, who pretends to be a Christian, exposed his biblical illiteracy in arguing from silence that Jesus agrees that homosexuality is not a sin. He makes Jesus contradict the rest of Holy Scriptures. He disagrees that God created binary human beings, male and female. There are no third, fourth, fifth, or whatever number of genders in the LGBTQ alphabet soup. Lou is also ignorant of many Old Testament texts that say that homosexuality is an abomination to the Lord. In addition, he probably never read the Apostle Paul's condemnation of homosexuality in Romans 1 and 1 Timothy 1 and 1 Corinthians 6. So today we continue with our series on God's covenants with man. Last Saturday we started with God's covenant with Adam in the Garden of Eden, commonly known as the covenant of works. It was a covenant of works since God's promise of eternal life hinged on his obedience to obey God's commandment not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of God, of good and evil. On the fifth day of creation, God created Adam in his own image. His image reflected in Adam's perfect righteousness, holiness, and knowledge of God as his creator. But this covenant with Adam also includes three other aspects surrounding Adam's creation as the image of God. So these three aspects attached to the covenant of works are commonly known as the cultural mandate. The cultural mandate. The cultural mandate is what God has commanded man to do with his creation, to glorify God and to love his neighbor. So these three aspects are, first, God commanded man to have dominion and subdue his creation. Dominion over and subdue his creation. The second mandate is that man must recognize God's male and female creation with male and female marriage. Third and last, man must bear godly children and spread through all the earth, so the earth would be full of people worshiping and giving glory to God. So our theme today is God's covenant with Adam. Let us make man in our image. So I would direct your attention to our sermon notes. The first is, let them have dominion over all the earth. So the first mandate that God appointed for man was, let them have dominion over every living creature and over all the earth, meaning over all his creation. Notice also, in verse 28, this dominion includes subduing creation. In Genesis 2:15, God, remember that God commands Adam to work it and keep it, referring to the Garden of Eden. So what does dominion mean? And how is man to subdue the earth and to work and keep it? To work it and keep it. This dominion images God's dominion over all his creation. God blessed man and made him vice regent or co-ruler or steward over his creation, giving him authority over all the creatures of the earth. Environmental activists, some of whom are Christians, argue that having dominion and subduing creation are actually man serving nature. Man serving nature. So the word translated have dominion is a strong verb in the sense of ruling over one's enemies and over other nations. And the word translated subdue is also a strong word, the subduer even requiring force on the one he subdues. On the other hand, this dominion and subduing is not a license for wanton abuse of creation for selfish motives. So therefore, mankind's dominion as the image of God is not only of superiority and priority over the rest of creation, but also one of wisdom and responsibility as stewards accountable to God for what he does with God's cherished creation. God endued man with this image, with his image, giving him moral and intellectual capacity to rule over creation as God's wise and responsible servant. But it was not to be because of Adam's fall into sin. So his perfect righteousness, holiness, and knowledge of God were corrupted. Because of sin, man became an idolater. Paul says that rather than worshiping God, he worships himself and creation. Although they knew there is a creator, they suppressed the truth and worshiped himself and creation. So therefore, Paul says they have no excuse on Judgment Day. How does man worship himself? So all throughout human history, man's desire is to be independent of God with no accountability and to get rid of God. As early as the Tower of Babylon, man wanted to be God. In Psalm 14, verse 1, King David declared, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Not only do they deny God's existence, today a majority of people believe that they can be like God and control nature, just as Jesus silenced the winds and the waves. Think of this. The goal of advocates of so-called climate change is zero carbon emissions. So in 2013, 9 years ago, a climate scientist wrote in Forbes magazine that even if this zero emissions is achieved, however impossible, the temperature of the earth will be reduced by how much? 0.25 degrees Fahrenheit by what year? 2100. So therefore, all this talk about getting rid of fossil fuels and replacing them with solar panels and windmills are insane pipe dreams of atheists and other unbelievers. These pagans also assign equal values to both humanity and non-human creation. This is also worshiping creation rather than the creator. Man's rightful place in God's creation is his dominion over his creation, over God's creation, and his uniqueness as God's image bearer. Therefore, if there is an apparent conflict between the welfare of humanity and of the environment, humanity takes precedence over the environment. And so logging should be more important than the spotted owl, dams and fishings over the spawning of salmon and steelhead, and farms over water control. Whatever man does, God is able to find ways of preserving his creation. As he has promised Seasons will come and go, and the earth will continue, and as it has for ages, until Jesus returns from heaven on Judgment Day. So having said that, man's dominion over creation does not mean selfish, irresponsible abuse of creation, and is to be tempered with wise and responsible stewardship. Preserving the beauty of God's nature must be balanced with man's use of nature for his resources. The second mandate from God in creation is, male and female, He created them. In our world today, this fact is also denied by most unbelievers. Representative Ted Lieu is typical of these ignorant and rebellious pagans who would twist and deny the inerrant truths of Scripture. As I have mentioned, homosexuality is an abomination before God, just like any other sexually immoral act. In 2017, our Supreme Court even legalized same-sex marriage in all states. Again, the Bible condemns this action because marriage should be only between a man and a woman, which Jesus himself affirms. Think of this. Same-sex union is a union of death. How would two men and two women produce children to fill the earth? Only by all kinds of scientific hocus-pocus, because as Paul says, same-sex relationships are contrary to nature. Romans 1:26. Our culture has brainwashed many into believing that men can get pregnant. In promoting a genderless society, pagan politicians have even called women and mothers birthing people, people who give birth. A Supreme Court justice even refused to define what a woman is. So I once heard a pastor preach on the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And although he affirmed that homosexuality is a heinous sin, he said that this judgment on Sodom is a weak argument against it. He did not say why, but I suspect that he has succumbed to the prevailing opinion among liberals in many churches that the sin of Sodom was not homosexuality. Rather, they say they were destroyed by God because they did not welcome the angels and show hospitality to them. However, the apostles Peter and Jude were clear about Sodom's heinous sexual sins. In 2 Peter 2:7, we read that God rescued Lot, who was greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked. And Jude, verse 7 says, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Notice it's not just the fire back in 3,000 years ago, but it is an eternal fire. They were subjected to eternal fire. It is terrifying to contemplate on the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sexual abominations. Would this destruction fall upon our nation because of our own abominations? We can only pray, God be merciful to us sinners. The third and last cultural mandate given to man in creation is, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Again, against this divine mandate, our culture has gone down to the abyss. What used to be called family planning has turned into pro-choice abortion on demand. What is truly despicable about this is that not only can unborn babies in the womb be aborted until the day of delivery, but babies who have been born can still be murdered after birth. Did you know that Planned Parenthood was founded by a racist woman who wanted to control the black population? It is truly a horrible, racist organization. God repeated this mandate to Noah in Genesis 9, and then promised Abraham a multitude of descendants that would include many nations all through the earth. Children are a blessing from God. All forms of abortion are murder. And thus, birth control, especially abortion, must never be used for the purpose of convenience, career, advancement, sexual immorality, or any other selfish end. The cultural mandate is related to God's design for men to fill the whole earth with worshipers, and so make the whole earth his glorious temple, as the Psalms repeatedly proclaim in hope. But after the fall, this mandate turned into a blight for men. Genesis 6, 1 and 5 says that the earth became full of wickedness because of the increase in population. When man began to multiply on the face of the land, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Because of man's sinful nature, ungodliness, crime, immorality, and environmental pollution with population. God did not desire that the earth will be full of wicked people, but only of godly offspring. However, Paul condemns those who marry and have children but couldn't and wouldn't provide for their families. In 1 Timothy 5:8, he says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Spiritual responsibility is also commended, and it is a great sin when parents bear children they cannot raise in the instruction and discipline of God. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, as God's image bearers, we are called to be righteous, holy, and to have true knowledge of and communion with God. As Christians, we are being transformed all our lives into the image of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, until we attain the glory of heaven. He, Christ Himself, is the image of the invisible God. As Christ has dominion and power and glory over all the earth, God gave man dominion over all creation. But because of sin, God's mandate to man to multiply and fill the earth with true worshipers of God was hindered. Therefore, believers are now commanded by God to preach the gospel to all the nations so that there will be true worshipers in all nations. And as believers bear children and train them as true worshipers in true righteousness, holiness, and knowledge of God, all the nations will one day worship and praise God and have perfect communion with Him in heaven forever.